Friday rolls along. Don't forget to join 96.5 The Fan June 12th as CDOT and Rob broadcast live from the Peanut in the Northland. Starting at 2 o'clock, we'll be giving away coolers and other prizes for those in attendance that hang out and watch USA play as they kick off at 8 o'clock. Our watch parties this summer are presented by Truly, the official seltzer of U.S. soccer, and by Security Bank of Kansas City, boldly local since 1933. Speaking of boldly local, Jay Binkley.
Oh, boy.
He's tapped in listening because we were talking about the NHL playoffs, and he had what to say.
Okay, so I got a text from Jay Binkley, 6:06 this morning, guys. So he is, like as you said, up and responsive. And the best part about it is he's texting me, and I'm responding, and there is no recollection that I am even texting him because he's not responding to anything. He's this mad right now. I was livid at Channel 9 last night. We missed the third period because of weather near Iowa. People were pissed. They didn't do split screen until the very end. Almost the whole game was ruined. They didn't do split screen to the very end. They could have done that the whole time, but they didn't. I was furious, as were many others. Imagine doing this during the Cup without a split screen. Miss 90% of the third period for weather near Iowa. Honestly, Bob, I was as mad as I've ever been regarding sports. I was cuss out loud pissed. I looked at X and many were pissed. Good thing I'm not doing a show today or I would go off on the weather people. They didn't figure out split screen till the end of the game. Embarrassing.
I'm like pissed.
I mean,
Binks, fiery.
Just get a box, Bink. I've been telling you, you watch it. You don't have to worry about it then.
Like local, Bob.
I mean, it was annoying.
That's infuriating.
Because I had it on last night, obviously, is watching that. And then the Royals, because it was really, I don't know if it was coincidental or ironic, but the Royals hit a rain delay and the third period starting, and it's being delayed because of rain in the metro area.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. And I'm like, can we get this guy to the
but
side?
But it wasn't even rain in the metro area.
No, it was damn near Iowa.
It was. Yeah. I mean, as Binkley's pointing out, it is damn near Iowa. There has to be a happy medium, though, that we can do for sports fans. Even if it is moving the sports fan, like Channel 9, you've got two channels, right? You've got 9 and 29. When the weather is coming in, say, hey, we're moving the game that you guys want to watch to Channel 29, and everybody, you know, matriculate over there. It's not like we're moving it to FUBU or something like that. Everybody has Channel 29. You can find that and move that game over to Channel 29 and then just leave Channel 9 to go for the weather and then compare the ratings and see what people are watching and see what people are paying attention to. And I know the weather folks will tell you we have to do it. It's out of safety and out of abundance of caution as we picked up during COVID. I understand all of that. But there are so a lot of times where the weather people do break in, and it really isn't stuff that affects the metro area. It affects stuff that's way north or way east or way west or, you know, way south, and it infringes on people's games. So why not give people that opportunity? Is there some law that says, or if it really is something like that, flip the weather people over to Channel 29. You legitimately have two channels, and I guarantee you the reruns of Modern Family or Two and a Half Men or whatever you're showing on Channel 29 – you're okay to bump that for the game and give people the opportunity to watch these games without being interrupted. Because I'm sure Binkley wasn't the only guy that was pissed off. We hear about it all the time. It goes back to Katie Horner effing up the Big Ten tournament years ago. And then the KUMU game with the damn sunspots at Channel 5. They've had a banner run over there.
And then I think it was Lakers-Celtics and Brian Busby was on the TV during the finals because it was like, I mean, now that was actually like legit because there was like tornado warnings
here.
And watches here.
Yeah.
And they were just like putting the finals game in the tiny corner instead of split screen.
Oh, man.
But yeah. It was brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, led the summer. It's like, hope. And it was just, and the thing that was off about it, right? So every other day they play, and every other day it was like a tornado watcher warning. It's like you just can't get away from it.
Watch the game.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah, you can't. And look, it's not just here in Kansas City. They do this everywhere. Mm-hmm. But again, we have the technology, and every one of these TV stations now has their own streaming services and streaming platforms. We hear about it all the time. Send people to their phone. What did we say the other day? 97% of Americans have a phone. 90% of Americans have a smartphone. 70-some percent of Americans have a television. So wouldn't you be reaching more people by just putting it on your app and directing people, hey, the weather right now, if you really need to see what's going on, go to your phone, go to our app, see what's going on in that type of situation. Couldn't we do that as well? Because seemingly you're reaching more people because more people have a phone than actually have a TV.
we're all going to have our TV on tonight on ABC because the Knicks and Spurs will play game two. The cost to get into game three, apparently upwards of like $7,500. They asked Jalen Brunson what show he would spend $7,500 on.
There was a report that in the last row of the Garden, there's seats on sale for $7,500. I'm curious, what show would you pay $7,500 to go see?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Nothing. Like, he thought about it.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Live Michael Jackson performance.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, live. So
a dead guy.
Yeah. Well, yep. if you could have anything you could ask for, and it was, you know, but like, so $7,500, what show or what would you do?
Yeah, I mean, Sinatra probably. Michael Jackson live would be great. I mean, if you could do something like that. But I also look at it and go, I'm not spending $7,500. Mm. I mean, it really is. Did you hear the Cardinals story about the St. Louis Cardinals with these games this weekend in New York? They're playing the Mets, I guess, or maybe they're playing the Yankees. I don't even know at this point. And what all the rookies, the Cardinals, a lot of guys are making league minimum right now. And so one of the rookies, I forget who, Weatherholt, I think it was, called his agent and asked about tickets to go see the game three at Madison Square Garden because they had like an off night or something.
Sorry, Rook.
Right. And so the agent gave him the prices. And like, I think it was Weatherholt says, is there a bar next to the hotel? Like, yeah, it's outpricing major league baseball players. Now, I know they're making the league minimum and it's a lot smaller than an A-Rod type salary Otani. Mm. But even still, I mean, that's where we are with the pricing of this thing, where even major league baseball players are saying, yeah, I'm going to pass on this one.
Yeah, it's kind of stuff that comes with the territory, because I still remember the freshness of when the Royals were in their playoff run in 2014. It's like, first time I've been in the playoffs in, you know,
what were people
years
paying for tickets back then? Do you remember?
I paid $1,200 for my dad and I seats.
For two seats.
But it was worth it because they clinched the pennant.
Yeah.
It was when they beat Baltimore.
Were they nosebleeds?
They were first row, third base side, upper deck.
That's a good seat, though.
So
yeah.
We saw the Alex Gordon run catch where he crashed into the fence against the Orioles. And we got to see him like wheel out the stage.
Moose was right
base.
In front of you then, too,
oh, for
right?
Sure. Yeah. And so like it was still worth it. And like luckily the guy that I got the tickets from was an usher and a college student at UCM, so I could just pay him in increments. I'd be like, here's 200,
oh,
here's 200.
Cool.
And he was cool about it.
Nice.
Shout out Daniel Barnett.
Awesome. Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So like,
man,
it was good to do that. And then my dad's like, how in the world did you get tickets? I'm like, just don't ask questions. Enjoy the game. And I still have the photo of us waving the towels and the
hell
stages behind us. And Lorenzo Cain was the MVP. And it was just, $1,200 didn't matter at that moment.
But think about that, though, Dusty. $600 a ticket, right?
Yeah.
This is 10 times amount. I mean,
yeah,
10 times that amount. And I'm interested to see if and when the World Series were ever to come back here, what people are willing to pay for this kind of stuff. Now, New York is a completely different beast and a completely different monster. They haven't won it in 53 years. The last time they were in it, OJ was driving down the highway.
It's still crazy.
Yeah.
It's still crazy prices.
No, it is. Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. Am I missing something here? Is that commonplace now? Like, New York, they're just going to pay kind of money. But, I mean, I've heard people are paying insane amounts to try to get into the KU game. Like, people want to be at these premier events. And again, it goes back to what I've been saying for years. Get rid of the regular season. Create more of these games where people are willing to pay this kind of dough to go see these games. You know, reduce the regular season, increase the postseason stuff, because people love the postseason. I mean, it's showing right now. Hockey's doubled their ratings from a year ago. People like the bigness of the game. They like telling people they've been there, too, and to be seen. But, man, $7,000 a ticket to get in is absolutely nuts. And I love Brunson's answer, because it's one of those things where you're like, I'm not paying that kind of money. And then he realizes people are paying at a low end $7,500 to go watch me play basketball.
Just to get in the door. Have you bought a drink?
I mean, nachos. I hope that puts it into perspective, though, for these guys, too. And they realize how much people are spending to go watch them play, which goes back to the other thing. The professional athlete is probably underpaid in the grand scheme of things based on the amount of money that they bring in for their employers. You know,
from the 816, I paid $275 for standing room only ticket for game five of the World Series in New York in 2015.
How much?
$275.
That's not bad.
That's
at all.
Amazing.
No, that's a steal, actually.
Oh, that is incredible.
Yeah, that's a great deal.
I'd have paid.
And you know what? Standing room only in baseball. So what? That's what we're doing now
anyway, right? No, that's not a big deal.
No, that's great. Yeah. I like that.
I don't know if I'd spend much over $1,000 for any show or any Thousands a lot.
It's a lot of
to
money.
To go see something, yeah. That's a lot.
It is. For anything to spend. I mean, yeah. I even look at like flights, you're like $1,000, right? That's a lot. And then you realize what an airline's doing. They're flying you across the globe in 9 hours yeah. over oceans. You're like, all right, that's kind of worth a little bit more. Fuel. Yeah.
yeah. Exactly. Using our gas prices are high.
Oh, God, yeah. But no, I mean that is a big number, man. And so I'd love to see if any NBA player would have like I'd be happy to pay $7,500 to go watch myself, you know?
Tonight is game two in San Antonio. Knicks up 1-0. What's got to be different for the Spurs, and what can the Knicks do to assure a 2-0 lead going back to the Big Apple, Mac?
I'll start with the Spurs. I don't know about you guys, but I loved the physicality from them early on. I mean, Brunson shot 31 times, and he couldn't get going until late in the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter, obviously, Brunson was born. But I'll bring back 4 minutes of Carter Bryant, rookie 20-year-old Carter Bryant. He played 4 minutes, all in the fourth quarter, all guarding Jalen Brunson when he got hot. Mitch Johnson, you need to be better, number one. Number two, Stephon Castle was really good, again, on Jalen Brunson that first half, very physical. Only had 3 fouls. I don't know why we went away from that. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
He pulled a John Harbaugh, didn't run in the playoffs. Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's amazing how many times we see coaches blow games, guys. I mean, we really do, whether it's bullpen management, whether it's calling no running plays in the second half, like you mentioned with Harbaugh, whether it's defending the wrong guy with the wrong player. Like, sometimes it's okay just to look at something and go, hey, this is working tonight. I know we didn't plan for this, but hell, this is working right now. You go do you.
Yeah, I'd shorten the rotation. Yeah, no Carter Bryant, no Harrison Barnes. I'd need to see less De'Aaron Fox and more Dylan Harper. Like, go to your guys. I know they're young, but they're studs. They showed out again. Dylan Harper, what a first, you know, 2.5, 3 quarters. Felt like they kind of went away from him again. Under 30 minutes played. He should be starting.
Yeah, he should be playing more. There's been a lot of controversy in San Antonio with the coach, obviously, about him coming out of the game. It's like, why wasn't he playing more minutes? Why did you take him out of the game? You can't take the hot player out right now. You just can't. This is one of these series, like, I hate to be this guy again. Throw your analytical nonsense away and just focus on what's going on the court, man. You don't know how people are going to play in these type of situations.
Especially if it's like, oh, well, I'm playing him for a veteran. Okay, I guess I can see your logically. No, again, you played Carter Bryant, another 20-year-old who's worse and got absolutely shelled and exposed.
Yeah.
With the Knicks, keep it up, man. To say about them, keep it up,
keep doing what you're doing and keep dominating in the fourth quarter, man. Just figure it out for the first three quarters and then let Brunson take over in the fourth. And I know that doesn't sound like a great game plan, and you're looking at that and you're going, oh, you can't rely on something like that, but guys, that's what's working for this team right now, you know. Man, guys, that's what's working for this team right now, right? Is it not?
No, absolutely.
And so just keep doing what you're doing, man. Again, the heart, the brain, the mind, all of that stuff that you just can't put a tangible number on, that's working for the Knicks. The Knicks have not lost since day one of the NFL draft.
I think the thing with the Knicks that they need to, take back to the Apple is you got to keep it within 5 going into the fourth quarter and survive the San Antonio run.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that last game. They were up 13, San Antonio was, and by the time the fourth quarter started, it was 76-76, and then Brunson can do his thing. The other thing that's interesting, guys, is that we talked about how the Knicks are, their win differential, like the point difference, 10 is where we're at right now, 10, in the finals.
They're winning every game by double digits.
So if you're the Spurs, you got to figure out how to avoid that separation in the last 4 minutes, because that's what happened last game. Is they got out-rebounded, they got out-physicaled, and they got out-shot. Because if Jalen Brunson is able to get down in the paint in the 5-minute mark of the fourth quarter and knock balls loose with rebounds and then get wide open and splash it from the corner, you are going to lose every single time. Because he should not be able to do that. And he does that. And if you let them kind of hang around and stay alive, they're going to beat you because Brunson has done it enough. Again, we talked about it yesterday. He's got the second most points in the playoffs since 2020 and 21, only behind Jason Tatum, right above Nikola Jokic. So you can't let him do that. And I know that's easier said than done, but you've got to put somebody on Brunson, whether that's Wimby, whether that's, you know, whoever. It ain't Harrison Barnes. Okay, he played at North Carolina in 2009.
No, he did not. Has it really been that long?
I don't
long?
Know. He's got it. Whatever,
I mean,
he wins.
Yeah, Harrison Barnes has been around for a while, though, man. He really has. Like, that guy is old. But 2009 is crazy. But you say put them away early, right? The Spurs had a 14-point lead in the third quarter. You would think that is putting them away early. But there is no putting the Knicks away early because they win big. They also come back from big time deficits as well. Like, that's the thing that is so unique about this club is the mind. It's between the ears. It's the most important muscle. And this team never believes they're out of it. They never believe that they're going to lose. They never believe that they can't. And the mind is powerful. And when you always believe that you're going to get the job done, you do. I've heard it for years from athletes. Having a positive mindset and believing that you're going to get the job done, you do get the job done. You have the negative one, forget about it. You don't stand a chance. And so this Knicks team, for whatever it is, they've got the right mindset. And that's why I love this team. Knicks in three.
Harrison Barnes was drafted 7th overall in the NBA draft in 2012.
Okay, so pretty close.
He went to UNC in 2010. He was recruited out of Ames, Iowa as the number one recruit.
That's right.
In 2009 and went to UNC in 2010. So I wasn't far off.
No, you weren't at all. No, he's old. Yeah.
I just looked it up yesterday because I was
13 years in the league.
Yeah, I was thinking about this conversation. He's one that's really deceiving. I would have had him 39, 40 years old. I just thought he was ancient. He's 34. He's still older player.
Oh, that's old? Yeah.
He's still older player, but I just thought he was even older than that.
Yeah. But. I mean, you see a 40-year-old lugging it up the court, man. I mean, that's like Vlade Divac type stuff.
Yeah, I think
that guy would smoke heaters, too.
I'm excited to see again, because I think I mentioned it last week or something, but the Spurs are like that robot in the movie that just keeps learning. They just keep getting smarter and smarter. So I'm excited to see that evolution of this game from last game, because obviously you saw it in third, late, and fourth. Obviously, like, they choked up. They tightened up. You felt it when it was tight at the end of the third quarter when Wimby like bricked another shot. I was like, man, they just don't.
They were tight.
They just don't have anything, and you felt that happen. I'm excited to see their counter to that.
Is it a bigger advantage for them now that game one's out of the way? Because the Knicks are no strangers to the streets of the playoffs. They've done that. Now, the finals are a different animal. I get that. But now that the Spurs have played a game and under their belt and they're still at home,
yes.
Is game two a different Spurs team that we saw in game one, or is it? I
don't know. I'm more looking at the Knicks and going like,
can they keep control?
Yeah. Can the Knicks take a 2-0 lead back to New York? Because I really do. I think the pressure is all on San Antonio tonight. Obviously, you don't want to go down 0-2. How are they going to play with that pressure? I don't know. I mean, we'll see. It's a different pressure too. And then they have a different pressure on Monday going into New York and playing in the Garden. I mean, it's going to be the atmosphere there that nobody's ever seen. I don't know what to expect on Monday night. I really don't. I mean, exactly. I can't wait to see what's going to happen on Monday night, because I think it is, especially if they're up 2-0. But that's the thing with San Antonio. You get up on these guys, you even up 14, you've got to find a way to extend that to 20, to 25, to deliver whatever knockout punch that is to the junk of the Knicks, because they believe that they're going to win. I'm interested to see how the Knicks respond after a loss, though, too, because it's been a minute since the Jets were on the clock the last time the Knicks had a loss.
You could put the dream team in their prime on the court against the Knicks in a 7-game series, and the Knicks would sweep them. Because they are a team of destiny. They are a team that is just connected on a level that we've never seen before in the history of the NBA. You could see it in their eyes. You could see it in their body language. The Knicks, you have to take a stake and drive it through their heart. And even then, you're not going to put them down. Not four times, that's for sure. Yeah, you might get one. You're not getting four. This team is not losing four games. Not to the Spurs, not to the Dream Team, not to Michael Jordan's Bulls, not to anybody. Okay. This is a team of destiny. The Knicks are a team of destiny. 53 long years. This is the sports gods repaying all of us as Knicks fans.
It sounds like us as Chiefs fans, you know?
It does. I need the Spurs to win, and then I need his show the next day in my ears.
Yes. You mean win a game or win the series?
The series.
The series, yeah. It does. It sounds like us, though, man. We know what it's like to want that first championship, like when we got it with the Royals in 15, and then we took on, you know, the Chiefs, and we got those first championships. We were all like that, right? Like, you've never had it before. You want it so bad. Now, I don't know that they can go out there. Maybe today they beat the Dream Team with, you know, guys in their 60s. But in their prime? Come on.
Stop. I don't know if they could beat the Dream Team's bench.
Well, that's a fair point.
Yeah. I mean, your starting five were what? Bird?
Magic? MJ. Isaiah?
Yeah, Bird was probably off the bench at that point. He was old. Yeah, Isaiah, Magic. Yeah, Charles.
Yeah. Scotty.
You had Ewing. You had Chris Mullin.
Yeah, Karl Malone.
Maxwell's hated player in the world for some reason.
You don't like Karl Malone?
No, Chris Mullin. Chris Mullin
was the mailman, man. He would deliver.
And then yesterday I used my friends as guinea pigs So I get you guys the same question because it made them all think. They didn't really know. If you had Shohei Ohtani on your roster, would you want him to pitch the ninth inning to win the game? Or do you want him to come up to bat in a tie game in the ninth inning to win the game?
I want him to hit.
You want him to hit?
I kind of want him to pitch.
More control with the ball in his hand?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah, he can dictate more at the end. Man, that's tough.
One run lead in the ninth, and he pitches, or tie game, and he comes up to hit. You're going hit, pitch?
Yeah, I'm taking him pitching.
Okay.
What's your answer?
I think it's pitch.
Okay. Same reason?
He just can control it. All the weight of the world is in his hand. When he's batting, he's not in control, which he most of the time is in control. But again, you win the game either way with Shohei Ohtani, I think, in my opinion. Coming up on the other side, it was a good day for Christian Watson's bank account. It was a bad day for him on social media. Unreal. Totally, totally agree, though, with social media. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Watson! Yes!
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
And Dusty Likens.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.